Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
For industries like tourism, music festivals, theatres, gigs, cinema, it's been a similar refrain for the past year. First to close, last to open. And many of these hard-pressed sectors fall under the remit of the Minister for Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media. And that's Minister Catherine Martin. Good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. I first want to ask you about the ructions last night at the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael parliamentary party meetings, at each other's throats from afar, sniping and undermining and backbiting, sources saying things like, we're worried that their bad performance is going to rub off on us. And for you, the question is, how can you get anything done with that sort of stuff going on?
Well, I would never comment on what did or did not happen at other PP meetings of other political parties. What I can say is that the cabinet is working effectively, and the plan that we set out this week is a cautious, measured approach, and carefully reviewing the impact of each change as we make it to give the vaccination programme the best chance of reaching the most vulnerable. The message we set out this week is that we want to open up our country safely. To do so, we need to keep the number of new infections down. We know that's not enough, you know, for the sectors particularly that I represent. There had been an expectation, I suppose, of a timeline, Claire, of clear timelines. But that the medical advice is that we should not do that because there are so many moving variables.
You say that, but then the Taoiseach last night at the parliamentary party meeting mentioned the 5th of April for extension of the 5 kilometre and the fact that sports might happen outdoors from that date. So, you know, the timeline comes after the fact again.
Well, the position is we, you know, if we can keep up our efforts for a few more weeks, by late March, the government will begin examining whether it will be safe to begin easing the restrictions on outdoor gatherings and some sporting activities. By that period, we would hope that we'd have administered about 1.25 million doses of the vaccine. We're hoping in April we'll be at 250,000 a week. Now, having said that, nonetheless, I am extremely conscious of the sectors under my remit, as you say, Claire, which are hurting so badly.
Yeah, I know that because I read that you pushed at the cabinet meeting for timelines because you're under pressure, understandably, from these sectors, and it's really difficult for them. So I'm just wondering how it feels then to read this morning that the 5th of April is mentioned as a date when things might start to open up on the sport front and the extension of the travel.
Well, I think we just have to wait and see how the next few weeks pan out, and then we will meet as a cabinet and decide what can or can't happen. The virus has shown it is so flexible and agile, it does not have respect for timelines or dates. So we need to be flexible and agile in our response.
Yeah, but from what I read, you weren't happy with that wait and see approach. You wanted dates and timelines for these sectors.
Well, I felt there was an expectation that this plan would have those clear guidelines. But it's the advice from the CMO and from the deputy CMO is that can't be done because of the agility of this virus. So that's what we have to adhere to. It doesn't respect dates, and it isn't a good idea. And we're taking the advice of the CMO and deputy CMO. It isn't a good idea to set out exact metrics. So it's not as simple as that.
You've changed your view on that.
No, I don't like to go into details of what I said at cabinet. What I have assured, I'm in constant engagement with all the sectors that I represent, and I think they know when it is safe to do so. I'll be first out of the traps, demanding that safe reopening. But in the meantime, what needs to be done, and what we did was, you know, to make sure that the supports are in place. And what I've secured to date is the 55 million business continuity scheme for tourism, 10 million two separate funds of 10 million for coach tourism operators, 5 million for upskilling.
Yeah.
The reports of the recovery oversight group of tourism, I brought that to cabinet with key demands there. I've not only brought that to cabinet and discussed it, I've written to my colleagues on that and asked them to give it serious consideration.
Okay, so we see in the Irish Times today in the poll, people are losing faith with the government in the handling of the pandemic. Can you understand why that is the case, given all of those communication gaffes and mixed messages we've had over the last while?
It's clear to me that the sectors I represent, they want clear communications and pathways to when they reopen. I can give you an example in sport. Myself and Minister Chambers were keen to facilitate a meaningful return to sport. And what has been done is the government have been working committed to developing specific guidelines for very large purpose-built event facilities, such as sports stadia, as provided in the recovery plan. And the draft guidelines, in consultation with the sector, are currently being reviewed by the relevant public health officials in the Department of Health. Okay. And these guidelines will be published well in advance of the return of spectators to sports stadia.
And when it
that
comes
in turn
to
could act as a blueprint for okay. what we would like to see happen in the arts sector.
When it comes to hospitality, do you know what midsummer means? Because that's what the Taoiseach said.
I don't think it's helpful to talk about dates, because the virus doesn't respect that.
Well, he did it.
But what has been agreed now, and it's a recommendation from the Recovery Oversight Group, is that we have clarity around communications. That's what they really want. That's what I'm advocating for as well for the industry. And we are committed in giving the supports and keeping the supports in place as was asked. There'll be a further meeting with the Hospitality and Tourism Forum with myself and the Taoiseach on March 10th. And I spoke to some of the stakeholders yesterday, a day after the report was launched, and I've told them that I want that clarity around communications as well.
Yeah, because I'm sure, you know firsthand that saying something like midsummer is just not helpful. It's actually not respectful for those businesses that are closed. And I know that you understand that, because I have seen that you have been saying that.
I absolutely understand that, and I think we have to be very careful at how we engage with our sectors. So if we do never want to be causing them any unnecessary anguish, the focus is on supporting these sectors. The focus is on the commitment to helping them reopen. For example, the reality is in the tourism and hospitality sector, they face the prospect of a second summer season without international inbound tourism, and that accounts for 75%.
And it's clear now that that's gone on for this year, isn't it?
That's the reality that they're facing. But then we have to look at the optimism too, and how this summer is due to the vaccines is it will look very different to last summer, for example. There is optimism there.
Will you extend the stay and spend scheme? Because it hasn't really worked up to now. In fact, it's cost money. Will it be extended or will it be changed?
That is one of the asks from the Recovery Oversight Group that I brought to Cabinet. The stay and spend scheme, Claire, when it was set up late last summer, was there to provide targeted support to hospitality business most affected. And it was set up by my colleague, Minister Pascal Donoghue. And it was innovative at the time. But at that time,
it was
Claire,
terrible.
And this
it was
this
terrible.
Is important.
I'm sorry now, Minister. We had a look at it online, right? You go online, you have a look at how it works. And the revenue website has a link to a step-by-step guide on how to claim the stay and spend, and it links to a 46-page PDF document.
But can I just say, Claire, I just want to go back to at the time.
I wouldn't
time,
enjoy my dinner that I was no, paying for if I had to read that.
Well, you asked me a question originally about would I like to see the stay and spend scheme launched, so I'm just answering that. And I'm saying the context of when it was launched, there appeared to be a steady downtrend of infection rates, and there was an expectation of at least a partial reopening could be sustained under uninterrupted. And Minister Pascal Donoghue was quite innovative with this scheme. But it is quite clear that the stop and start nature of the pandemic and the unpredictable consequences have resulted in it being completely underutilised.
Mm. So although it's not just that, though, it's far too cumbersome a system and it's complicated. Would a voucher system not be better?
Well, I'm saying there are some other effective supports in place, Claire, but I believe this specific scheme, this is my opinion, that it should be reviewed as was provided for when it was launched. I've made that my opinion is known on that. And I think the review of the scheme was in fact one of the recommendations and was provided for. So I have asked Cabinet colleagues, I've written to them, I've spoken to them, I'm urging that, and that is what I'm seeking. And I think everything has to be considered to support a sector that's on its knees, to support a
Absolutely.
Sector that is missing 75%. And I think, you know, my engagement and ongoing engagement with them, they know where I stand on this, and they know that I will continue fighting for them. But it's that cross-government cooperation as well. And as I said, I've made my views known, and I'm open to everything that will support this sector, and they know that.
What about vaccine certificates? Would they help support the sector for inbound tourism?
I believe that vaccine certificates are currently under consideration at EU level, and of course there would be a merit in a common format being used right across the EU. But in the first instance, I think the initial focus should be on the medical value of a vaccine cert, and the question of its use for other purposes, including travel, have not been ruled out. And of course, the attractions of this, and especially for the sector I represent, are very obvious. But I think we need to proceed with caution. But again, I'd say, you know, obviously a common approach across the EU to this sensitive issue would be helpful. Okay. And I hope the EU will consider the options very carefully.
You mentioned music festivals there, and some of them are actually selling tickets at the moment. What's your own view of that?
Again, and I with the ongoing engagement I've had with this sector, I think it would be wrong and unfair to the sector for me to say if the festivals would happen. I would love to see festivals happening. I would love to see theatres opening again. But the outdoor festivals, we have to look with optimism to the summer. What I'm trying to make sure does happen is I've recently launched an outdoor public space scheme. It's a new funding scheme to help local authorities open up and create public spaces and facilities for our arts and cultural activities. It's one of the recommendations that came from the Arts and Cultural Task Force. I'm providing up to 250,000 to each and every local authority in Ireland. I think now more than ever, not only do we appreciate our arts and our cultural activities, but we appreciate the value of communal spaces for our artists. And I hope that this will lead to innovation, and around our countries and villages and towns and cities, there's potential there to be transformed into wonderful resources for festivals, for entertainment and cultural events.
And of course for sport as well. And we know the GAA, their annual report illustrated in great detail just how much they're missing the fans financially, certainly not to mention everything else. And Gerry Killeen, professor at UCC, he said, he told the Mail on Sunday last week, that the Euro 2021 matches, which are going to be held in Dublin in summer, he believes they shouldn't go ahead, they should be pulled.
Well, as you said, Dublin is due to host these games in June this year as part of that. And when they took the decision to postpone these championships last year, they sought confirmation from the government authorities. And in April, the government reconfirmed the guarantees required and confirmed that Ireland would host these matches. But I would just like to say, when you mentioned the GAA there, I would like to take the opportunity just to commend the volunteers right across the country for the work they're doing in supporting our communities. I see it even in my own local GAA club. We're at a position, you know, right now, currently, there's no training happening. The unbelievable amount of communication that's happening with parents of children, the supports that are there, from quizzes happening online to connect kids, to printable activity books for children of all ages, and Irish female sporting heroes, I'm glad to see, from an equality perspective as well, being shared with children. So I just want to take the opportunity to say that Minister Chambers are in regular contact with the sporting bodies.
Just before we finish, breaking news this morning, the European firm Bauer Media Audio has agreed a deal to by Communicore, owned by Dennis O'Brien. So this is News Talk Today FM, Spin 103, Spin Southwest 98 FM. Regulatory approval will be needed, but you have responsibility for this area. What's your initial reaction to that news?
Well, as you say, Claire, the news of this deal is just breaking, and we will have to go through the usual regulatory processes. So initially with deals, what happens is that it's reviewed by the Competition Consumer Protection Commission. And then if it's cleared by that, it comes to my desk for review from I suppose, a media plurality perspective. And that is the role that I have in terms of protecting the plurality of Irish media. And any media companies involved in mergers have to seek clearance from the minister on the grounds for assessment that it won't damage media diversity.
And do you have a
statutory
view on
process
it today?
In place. I think there's a statutory process in place where we'll assess submissions on that grounds. It would not be appropriate for me to comment any further on it, Claire.
Minister, thank you very much for talking to us today. That's Minister Catherine Martin. Let's take a break.
email todaycb@rte.ie.